If you want to bring your mic nice and close to you, about a couple inches away from your face.
Okay.
And just to set some levels, can you introduce yourself and your title for me, please?
I am Lindsay Crete, the Vice President of Human Resources at the Lutheran Home in Harwood Place.
Okay. All right. Let me start by saying, Lindsay Crete, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So to start, how did biking become a passion for you and such a central part of your day-to-day life?
Yeah. So like many adult cyclists, they fell into the sport by way of a running injury or triathlon gone wrong, which is what happened to me
okay.
in both instances. So I historically am a runner, and I had a foot injury that prevented me from running for a period of time. So I switched over to biking and decided to dabble with racing and discovered that I really, really enjoyed not only biking in and of itself, but even more so the community and the people that I have met through cycling have been amazing. So I've kind of stuck with the sport and never gone back to running as a primary focus ever since that injury.
Well, and even though you have a history of different sports, I understand you also do skiing in the wintertime and you
yeah.
dabble in also just different kinds of biking, whether it's road racing, velodrome racing, cyclocross. So with all these various activities, what does each one feed you with personally, like switching these formats within the biking community?
Well, I need to mix things up. I am not a creature of habit, so I like to kind of keep variety in my life. And a lot of cyclists spend their winter in their basements or in gyms on trainers. And that is a form of insanity for me. So I ski in the wintertime. My first passion is alpine skiing, but living in Wisconsin, I can't do that because we don't have mountains here. So when I moved back to Wisconsin from being out both east and west, I decided to pick up Nordic skiing as my winter sport just for an avenue to get outside on two sticks under my feet, and discovered that I really love Nordic skiing. So in the wintertime, instead of spending time on a trainer, I spend time on trails in the snow and have developed a huge passion for that. So I do love winter. But then transitioning into spring and summer and fall, there's so many forms of cycling.
So with races like the Tour of America's Dairyland coming up, you know, how do you decide what your racing season looks like, what your biking season overall looks like between your interests and what you want to utilize most?
I'm probably different than the average cyclist or athlete where I continue to mix it up. So I am doing this track cycling once a week. I do enjoy road racing, not as much criterium racing, but Tour of America's Dairyland is such a staple in our community now that it's you can't not do it.
Right.
So I choose some crit races to do every year, including Tour of America's Dairyland and road racing and mountain bike racing. And then, of course, in the fall, what's becoming very popular, or what has become very popular, is cyclocross. So how I choose what to do, boy, that's a good question. I don't have much rhyme or reason to it.
Just look at the calendar and
yes,
say,
and say, oh,
I think
that looks neat. I'll
yeah.
give that a try.
Well, and do you think, as you mentioned, most people, it's expected to race the criterium races and to be consistently at all of those things throughout the season. But do you think that mixing it up gives you your own personal advantage, despite people maybe being confused of you coming into this race, like doing well, placing, but then they don't see you for a long time after that, whereas you get your regulars that continuously are racing in specific circuits?
So I wish I could say it gave me an advantage. I don't think that's the case, but I like mixing it up so much that I don't care. It keeps it fresh and exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that a coach would tell me and you to pick something, make
stick
a plan and stick with it. And I kind of throw that out the window.
Right. Well, and I imagine it does a world of good for you just personally and mentally to be able to mix it up. Do you think just that with how you are and you know how you operate, that if you, say, had to stick to strictly street racing and criteriums, that it just wouldn't be as satisfying for you.
For me, for sure. Yeah. It's all about the variety in the community and keeping it fun. So from a mental and emotional health standpoint, yeah, I like to mix it up. Yeah.
So what does a successful ride look like to you, whether it's a practice ride or you have official bib numbers on?
Whether or not I gave it my all, if I feel good about the work that I put out in either a charity ride or a race or a group event, it's really afterwards, did I put into it what I wanted to put into it and get out of it what I wanted to get out of it?
Training for all these different kinds of events, you need a significant amount of time to do that, to be at the level of an elite athlete. And I'm curious, how do you balance maintaining that training all the while living your daily life and working a full-time job?
I have a great career right now and an organization that really believes in this work-life balance culture. So while my position is a great position within the organization, it's a long-term care facility called Lutheran Home and Howard Place in Wauwatosa, I can walk away from work at the end of the day and go about my life and come back the next day. So I am very blessed to have a great quality of life. I haven't had that in the past, or I've worked too many hours and haven't been able to get out and kind of reset via physical exercise.
I'm curious, what has your experience been as a cyclist garnering more attention and more access for other female athletes to get into the sport?
I personally have pushed really hard to get women more involved in the sport. So I race for a team named Hollander Benelux Cycling, and I am in charge of the women's team. And I have put in a good effort over the years to try to get women to join the team.
What do you find is like the main obstacles for women to take that next step and to make competitive cycling a part of their lives?
It's an intimidating sport. I mean, for women, you got to put on a pair of Lycra shorts and get out to the start line of a race. And in the sport of cycling, there's this concept of being dropped. And what that means is there's a group of cyclists all clumped together and taking advantage of drafting and aerodynamics. And if a person can't quite maintain that draft, they will fall off the back and lose that aerodynamic advantage. And they fall off the back and become solo in their cycling pretty quickly. It's intimidating and it's scary, and nobody wants to be that person that falls off the back and is all alone. And then there's the reality of crashing. There is a danger to cycling, and you can crash on
even
a bike.
Even recreationally, yeah.
Even recreationally, and it hurts. Road rash does not feel good. So I think there's a lot of barriers to entry when it comes to bike racing. Now I have seen more and more and more people get involved in cycling as a hobby, which is awesome, but it has been so difficult to get women, and juniors is another one where we're really struggling just over that hump to, hey, go try a race. It's fun and it's exciting, and there's a lot of gratification in entering this race. So juniors is a big focus of ours too, and we're not finding a ton of youth who are interested in getting on the road. Now, NYCHA has come on the scene, which is awesome. It's the high school mountain biking organization, and they've done a fabulous job of getting youth involved in mountain biking. So the next step is trying to get these kids who are excited about mountain biking and NYCHA to transition over and give road cycling a try.
Outside of the dangers concept and the intimidation of operating at that level and racing, you know, do you think the public has a common misconception about competitive road cycling that perhaps doesn't make it as popular a sport to go and see as, say, like soccer or football or anything that's in our own backyards?
Yeah. So I have three brothers and a father who are pretty traditionalist. They're, you know, kind of good old boys who love the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks. And they think I am I am odd because I cycle. They love me, but they have frequently said to me, man, Lindsay, why do you do that? So, yes, yeah. It is certainly a non-traditional sport.
What do you think needs to change in order to make it a traditional sport?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. You know, I think we've got momentum. I think we need to keep doing what we're doing. I think the Bike Fed needs to keep growing programs. I think getting into schools is the right way to go, and we're doing that through NICA, awareness and advocacy, and continuing down the path that we're on is what we need to keep doing.
Biking can be both a solitary and a community sport. So how do both sides of that coin feed you? You know, say you're alone on a training ride for how many miles at the end of a workday compared to here's a nice group cycle on the weekend. You know, it's a sport that is multifaceted.
Yeah.
And I think most people probably think about it as just you going out and biking.
So that's the beauty of the sport, is there's so many ways to bike. I've gone on group rides with, I don't even know how many people. The Trek 100, for example, was last weekend in Waterloo, and there were hundreds of people there. And you see so many people that you know in the community that you can connect with. So it can be really, really social, really fun. It can be really hard. It can be really easy. You can go on your own and reset and think. And you can go out on the trails and mountain bike in nature. You can go to the track. So there's so many different ways to get out there. The sport is really cool.
What's going through your mind when you're, quote, in the zone?
When I'm racing and there's people around me, I am constantly paying attention to where everybody is around me and where I ought to be. So that is not only from a competitive standpoint, but also a safety and risk standpoint, too. So got to move around this person, got to get in front of this person, going to drop behind and move to the other side. So it's strategic and tactical from a competitive standpoint, but also a safety standpoint.
And how about on training rides when you're going solo?
What am I thinking about?
Yeah.
Oh,
like what
man.
Pushes you to, you know, you're spending a lot of time on the saddle, and some people use it as therapy to work out, whatever. I'm curious with your level of dedication and how much time it takes to be, you know, at the level you're at in so many different areas of the sport. What is keeping you driven?
So many different things go through my head when I'm on a bike ride. It totally depends on the day. Sometimes I just like mash out my anger in the pedals, and that's all I can think about is just like getting rid of the anger that I have in me. And other times I'm thinking about work and preparing for the meeting that I have tomorrow. Other times I'm thinking about my family or my dog or going through my grocery list. But if I'm in the zone, I'm thinking about my breathing and my pedal strokes and just concentrating on pure cycling as a sport.
You mentioned Wisconsin has a lot of good advocacy and momentum in their favor for the biking community. In what other ways has living in the Milwaukee area or in Wisconsin in general shaped your biking career? You know, would you have more or less opportunities, say, if you live somewhere else with a different kind of biking community?
So Wisconsin is interesting in that depending on where you live regionally kind of dictates what your focus is. So southeastern Wisconsin has a pretty strong road focus. And I think that very much has to do with Tour of America's Dairyland coming on the scene 10 years ago. So they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary this year. And from year one to year 10, I have observed a major upswing on cycling in general, cyclists out on the road, and people talking about the sport and interested in the sport. So people know what Toad is. Most people I talk to have heard of the races, have gone to the races or expressed interest in going to them, which is super cool. And that's very much southeastern Wisconsin. Now, you go even further south to Kenosha, Racine area, they're talking about the Velodrome because we have the Velodrome down there. So there's a cluster of track cyclists down in that area. As you get farther north, there are more gravel roads. So you're going to meet a lot more gravel cyclists and mountain bikers. So it's really interesting because it's very much regionally driven.
Well, Lindsay Crete, I want to wish you the best of luck with upcoming races, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to let me pick your brain about cycling today.
Thanks, Audrey.